right? And so I want us to kind of think about, what does it mean to be a deliberate parent, to be intentional, right? It means that we're going to be parents and not buddies, right? We all know those friends of ours who are so concerned about pissing off their kids that they're not willing to be real moms and dads. And we see the suffering. We see that this is not going to end well. Okay, we already can see into the future of how this is going to turn out. It's not going to work. Okay? We understand that we are gatekeepers and protectors. That doesn't mean that we can stop everything, but we can do our best to empower and strengthen our kids for the hard times ahead. Okay? We're optimistic. Okay? I cannot look at my future and I cannot look at what my kids are doing and just always, this is not going to work out. Oh, I can't do this. We know that that doesn't work. That kind of thinking does not create change in them and it doesn't create change within us, okay? Now again, because it's tough, we need to realize that sometimes it's not enough that we do our best. Sometimes we have to do what's required. What does that mean? Sometimes it's not just enough to do the nice things, right? The easy things. Sometimes we have to make those hard choices with our kids, okay? Deliberate versus defensive parenting, okay? I know that there's been times in my life where I have come at certain issues in a defensive position, things that I've been worried about with my kids, if they're gaming too much, if they're looking at this. It hasn't worked. It's never worked. But when I've been coming at things in a deliberate sense, that is where I have found success, okay? We see the end from the beginning. So this is something I want you to think about and be thinking about in a lot of your conversations. I saw that you guys, there's a workshop coming up here in January. In all of the things that they teach, same principle, that we need to see the end from the beginning. What does that mean? It means that as we're talking about digital health here, as we're talking about healthy sexuality, as we're talking about pornography, we need to be thinking about what do we want for our kids when they leave our house? What do we want for them? What kind of husband or wife do we want them to be? What kind of a career future? What kind of health, what kind of work ethic do we want them to have? And it's the same thing, okay? And we have to teach why. It's so easy for us to just say, do what I want, do what I say. We know it doesn't work, okay? We have to know why we're doing this. Everything that I'm doing in my organization is because I care about my kids. And my goal at the end of the day is always to strengthen families, okay? I want to see stronger families in my community, anywhere I can touch and help. That is what I want. That is my why, and that is what I communicate to my children. When they ask, why can't we do this? Why can't we have as much time as we want on our phones? Why can't we do this? It's because I care about you, and I can see the end from the beginning, and this is why I am leading us down this path. At least I would hope so, anyways. Right? The path. Crossing fingers. Okay. Dangers gather upon our path. We cannot afford. We have no right to look back. We must look forward. All right, so let's start talking about the world our kids are living in. A generation shaped by the smartphone. Think about the world that has changed in just the last 10 years, okay? I cannot believe that smartphones have only been with us for 10 years because of the impact, the intrinsic value they add to our lives, but also the way they've changed our relationships, the way they've changed the way we talk, the way we communicate, the way we share love. How many of you text a family member in the same house? Right? Love ya, right? Come here, I need to talk to you, right? That hasn't happened for centuries. That something, that an invention will change not only the way we do business, but the way we communicate, the way we share love, the way we maintain a relationship, the way we find relationships. It's amazing what these phones have done to us, the good and the bad, right? Our kids and us, we have these many opportunities all around us to disconnect from real human relationships and engage in these very shallow places online, right? Our friends on Facebook. Our friends, right? I look at my Facebook list and I think, how many of these people could I actually rely on? How many of your friends could you actually rely on Facebook if you were in trouble? Something happened, you were in a car accident, you were in a wreck, you're getting a divorce. How many of those? I think I could count on one hand how many of those friends in social media. But again, looking at it with what our kids do, where that is where they are spending the majority of their time creating relationships, and this is who they consider their friends. Have you noticed that? That level of shallowness that we did not have to experience. We had actual face-to-face daily interactions with our friends, right? Where we laughed, where we fought, where we told each other our secrets, where we grew closer, where relationships waxed and waned. And that, think of what if all we had were social media, because that is where our kids live, is it not? On social media. All of you know we have this constant barrage of unattainable images constantly around us, okay? And we have a hard time functioning with that. Imagine how it affects our kids, right? How often are we comparing ourselves to magazine covers or Instagram posts, right? Something that is totally airbrushed. Our brains know it's true, right? They know these are fake images, but we still compare ourselves to these images. How many of you still do that? I know I can look at, I looked at about 10 years of Cosmo covers for one presentation I was doing, right? They were so ridiculous. I was looking for how sexualized they got over 10 years. And of course, it was crazy, right? But looking at those covers, I could look at them and think, even though I knew they were airbrushed and I knew they were fake, my brain still wanted to compare myself to them. Oh, I don't look like that. My skin doesn't look like that. My legs will never look like that, right? All these things that we do to ourselves, now again, put it on our kids' level, okay, of what they are experiencing. All right, so what are some of these real dangers that they're facing? Because every 5 minutes we hear a new story about a new danger, and sometimes it's hard for us to go, okay, well, what are the actual real dangers? Okay, they make it look like there's a predator around every, you know, around every corner or on every website. Maybe they are, maybe they're not, but the same could be said in all of our communities, right? So what are the real dangers here? Addiction, that has become a huge, huge issue, right? Not just with drugs and alcohol, but obviously with pornography, with computers, with gaming, gambling, any of those things, everything is ramped up because we're getting so empty inside. Have you guys sensed that in our culture? Nod your head or shake your head. Yes, no. I know I sense it everywhere. I've never known so many people with addictions, okay? And I don't think my parents knew as many people with addictions, but it's constant, okay? The bullying, the sexual harassment. Oh, apparently I can't spell harassment. And predators, okay? The depression, the loneliness. We've all heard those studies, right? We've heard that it's been coming out, and that research is not gonna stop because our kids cannot, there's no way for them to feel good about themselves by spending 2 hours a day here, scrolling and scrolling. You haven't produced anything, you haven't created anything, and you've just been comparing yourself. How is it possible for any child or teenager to put their phone away and then be like, I feel really great about myself right now. That was amazing, right? There's just no way to do it, especially with that undeveloped brain, okay? The sexting and the self-commodification. So our kids, what are they doing? We're gonna talk more about social media in a minute, but that constant self, you know, commodification where they're taking pictures of themselves, they're turning themselves into products, right? To be looked at, to be gaped at, to be admired, to be discredited, whatever they're doing. They have, every time they post something where they self-objectify, and hopefully none of us are doing it. I'm sure all of us are perfect. But that they're turning themselves into a product. What does that mean for kids? What does that mean for us and for our kids when we turn ourselves into a product? What does that do to our personalities? What does that do to our feelings? What does that do to the way we operate when we're turned into a shell? It's a really empty place. But yet, we're allowing our kids to do this on a daily basis. And sometimes some of us are doing it really often, okay? The marriage between gaming and porn. So a lot of people ask about this. Basically, the same people that are trying, you know, the same marketing techniques that are being used for gaming are the same ones that are pushing our kids towards pornography. That's what I'm talking about. The same kind of like the flashy, in-your-face, constant, you know, barrage of games and options, same kind of technology, and we'll talk about those algorithms in a minute, being used to guide them toward pornography, okay? The problem with social media, okay? What is the big deal? In some ways, social media has helped me a ton. I've been able to connect with old college friends that help me, that do graphic design for me. I have other, you know, great relationships that I had forgotten about that I was able to connect again and go visit people, blah, blah, blah. But what do we do when we give this very adult tool to kids, right? I really do look at it as a gateway drug. Remember our parents, oh, don't do marijuana. That's a gateway drug. That's how they get you, right? And it's Red Ribbon Week this week at the school, right? And you're like, you hear kids are telling you about it, and you're like, so they're using the same things they said 30 years ago. All right. But I see the way girls are with social media. They're the same way with their social media as boys are with porn. Can't put it down. They can't get enough of it. They can't stop talking about it, right? That this is where their exposure to porn and sexting is coming from, but also where their those addictive tendencies are coming out, okay? Repeated, not just for kids, but for adults too, okay? This bottomless quest with constant comparisons. No way to feel good about it, right? Fewer rules and standards. Remember when people used to be real on social media? Did you guys ever experience that? My cousins kind of like pushed me, like, why aren't you on Facebook? Why aren't you on Facebook? I got on Facebook, right? But I was actually able to be like, I'm having a bad day, right? I was actually able to like tell people what was going on. Now I have to, but now I'm just like, hi, here I am. Everything's perfect, right? I'm sure a lot of you have experienced that. But again, these rules and standards have kind of gone out the window when it comes to authenticity, but also when it comes to just kindness. You know, we talk about bullying all the time. The worst bullying I see is among adults. Anybody else? Rudeness, absolute like disregard of courtesy on just simple things. We can't talk about any issue because you're a terrible person if you disagree with me, right? All right. So this is a statement. I love the way this girl puts it all together. Without realizing it, I spent the majority of my teenage life being addicted to social media, social approval, social status, and my physical appearance. Social media, how I used it, isn't real. It's contrived images and edited clips ranked against each other. It's a system based on social approval, likes, validation and views, success and followers. It's perfectly orchestrated, self-absorbed judgment, and I was consumed by it. So this is a teenager that she had a million followers, but she got off. But everything throughout what she has said is totally accurate, right? I remember when I used to be able to see everybody's stuff in my friend list. Now I only see the most popular posts or what Facebook thinks I'm going to click on or what Facebook thinks I'm going to stay on. You know, they're going to keep me there, right? Using those algorithms to push me into staying on their platform, right? The things that aren't real based on social approval and likes. I read a great book a couple years ago, like The Secret Social Media and the Secret Lives of Teenagers, and it was a Vanity Fair author who went around the country interviewing teenagers. These kids knew exactly what time to post to get the most likes, how to post, the right words to say, the right people to get with to get the most likes, okay? I had to learn that from marketing people, okay? The fact that our kids are doing that. Do you guys know what time to post to get the most likes? I hope you don't. I hope you don't. I hope that's not what you're looking up, okay? I hope, but that is what our kids know instantly. They already know that naturally, okay? Because they spend so much time there. That's a sad place, that I'm not going to say what I want or what's really on my mind. I'm going to say what I'm going to get the most approval for. That's an icky place to be. But that is, again, where most of our kids are being herded toward, okay? The problem of pornography. This is something that obviously, I feel very passionate about, and I hate, I'm using the word hate here, okay? But this is why I hate it. This is why I feel like it is an evil, okay? Pornography, everything on there is devoid of intimacy, okay? No hand-holding, no hugging, no kissing. If it is, it's for a split second, okay? It's all about the act. So again, thinking about undeveloped teenage brains and child brains watching the pornography, what they take away from it. What do they learn about sex and porn? You know, what do they learn about sex, right? That's why all the studies are showing there's this huge increase in anal sex. How many of you were asked for anal sex or even thought about anal sex as a teenager? Any hands? You guys are like, I'm not gonna say, gross, right? But again, that's becoming standard, right? Oh, we don't wanna get pregnant. Let's go ahead and have anal sex, right? So again, becoming more and more prevalent. Just like for us, maybe oral sex was becoming more prevalent and more okay? But that is solely due to pornography, okay? I don't know any teenage girl who is like, yep, I am dying for some anal sex right now, okay? It is from teenage boys, sorry, is that too much? Too much, too far, okay. But this is, again, teenage boys watching pornography, watching it like, you know, the girls acting like it's the best thing that's ever happened to them, screaming yes, yes, yes. So of course they think, well, of course my girlfriend's gonna wanna do this. They don't, okay? But they do because they're pressured, right? So this is, again, where our kids are going with their sex lives, okay? Celebrates misogyny, okay? In almost everything I've seen of pornography, at some point, whether that's within 10 seconds or that's in 2 minutes, the woman is put into a position of powerlessness, right? Whether that's because she's been put on her knees, whether she's been hit, slapped, kicked, called names, or just degraded in some way, okay? Always with body punishing sex, okay? We talk about, you know, whenever I get someone to argue with me, they'll be like, oh, well, you just need to watch some feminist porn, right? And I'm like, well, thank you, okay? And everything I've seen with feminist porn is that it still ends in body punishing sex, okay? And the woman, of course, is just like, thank you, I'm so empowered. No, not empowering, okay? Not empowering to have body punishing sex where the man is always in a position of dominance, okay? A portrayal of deviant acts is normal. This is what frightens me the most when I think of every teenager in America watching pornography, that every future lawyer, doctor, policeman is watching things that are considered deviant are now being normalized, right? The mother-son genre skyrocketed. That was not a thing 20 years ago, okay? There have been father-daughter type themes for a long time, unfortunately. Okay, but now that we're seeing this huge increase, normalizing incest, okay, it's not normal. We should not find our moms hot, okay? We should not try to have sex with our stepsisters, okay? But the fact that I have to say this, why am I even having to say this? Because that is what our kids are being taught, okay? And those are the unfortunate conversations that we are going to need to have with our kids about what is okay and what is not okay, okay? Hijacking one's sexuality. So this is, again, something that worries me. I really want my kids to be able to decide for themselves what they think is sexy and beautiful, not what an industry has taught them, okay? Because they do not try to create beautiful, amazing sex, right? We think of all the amazing food that we've had in the world, every filet mignon, creme brulee, whatever you love, and instead they're trying to teach you that having McDonald's cheeseburger sex is the only sex that there is. Okay, because I'll hear college guys say, well, how am I going to learn how to have sex? I'm like, that's like saying, if I don't have McDonald's, how am I going to learn to cook? Really? That it's the exact same thing. If people think that that is where they're going to learn about real sex and a real relationship, it's pretty sad, okay? But that, again, is what our kids are being taught and shown when we are not willing to have those conversations. So the last point is something that we haven't been able to do as much research until recently because we didn't have the documentation for it. But now we do know that adolescent sexual discovery is starting to happen now at the site of where adult men's preferences are. So why is that? Well, that is because the porn industry uses the same kind of scale-free network that Amazon and Google use, right? Meaning they are always going to show you whatever clips on the big, you know, whether that's RedTube or Pornhub, these big sites, they are always going to show you what they think you are going to click on and what's going to keep you on their site, right? So they're not going to show you something creative or interesting. They're going to show you where people have been spending money. So even though those are free sites, they're getting their data from the paid websites. Who's paying for pornography, right? It's from people who have been watching long enough that they're willing to pay for it. Okay, those sites typically have way worse information, way worse. They have humiliation, they have rape porn. There's a way higher level of deviance, but again, since that is where the money is being made, that is the data that's being taken from to the free sites and putting that right front and center for our kids to click on. Okay, you used to have to seek out and look for some of this creepy stuff, but now it is right there front and center for our kids, okay? And of course, like I mentioned when I came on Sunday, the industry is targeting women and girls like it's never done before. So we have got to stop addressing this as just a boy problem. This is for sure a girl problem as well, okay? Aren't you glad you came? All this happy information? All right, on to the good stuff. So another quote from Mr. Churchill. Do not let us speak of darker days. Let us speak rather of sterner days. These are not dark days, these are great days. And he said this during the war, okay? The greatest days our country has ever lived. And we must all thank God and that we have been allowed, each of us, according to our stations, to play a part in making these days memorable in the history of our race. I absolutely believe that. These are not dark days, okay? This technology has so much potential for amazing, amazing things that we can't just give it up to the porn industry or the industries that are just hoping to make money from us. So how do we build immunity to all these negative things that I've just talked about? Okay? Well, first we need to take inventory of our homes. What are we doing in our homes? Okay? Where are we spending our time? Where we spend our time is a total reflection of who we are and what we value, right? Am I just spending my whole day shunting kids from soccer practice to dance practice? Am I just worried about what I look like? How much time am I grooming and showing to people and spending on social media? What does my time say about me and say about how I feel about my spouse and my kids? Okay? Am I prioritizing my family above other obligations? I don't feel like we have the luxury anymore of spending time on anything that does not bring us closer together, that doesn't bring us closer as a family. Okay? And when I first thought about that a few years ago, I was like, that's just too much. I need to have time for this. I need to go do this. I need to be able to have me time. All that stuff. And then I realized that is not what is helpful to my children. I need to be spending time doing things that make me a stronger mom and make me a stronger person for my family. Okay? Really helped me, though, cut back on all those little extra activities that I was doing in order to be a good mom. And really focused me in on what is the most important thing to help my kids build character and be strong and intelligent, okay? How much time are we spending in front of screens, okay? We have a great thing on our website, or on the back of those red pamphlets that I brought that are free. It's a media guide where you can start calculating with your family how much time you spend on your phone, on social media, at work. It's a huge eye-opener. I have never looked at it and done that with my family and been like, oh, we're doing fine. Okay? At every point, you're like, okay, I can do better. I can do better. Okay? What do we have as far as filtering and monitoring on our computers? We'll talk about that again in a minute, but we should have something, a bare minimum something. Okay? We used to use a free one called Canine Web Protection because we're cheap, but it's also very cumbersome. But that's a free one if you want another free one. Another one that is free is OpenDNS, okay? That is at the router level. It will filter anything that comes into your house when any Wi-Fi, you know, device. But I don't give my Wi-Fi password out to the kids who come over. I'm like, no, you came here to hang out with my kids, not to be here. I'm that mom. I'm real popular, okay? So, again, and finding the best mobile apps to protect our kids. Those are tough. Mobile device technology is moving so much faster than anything for filtering and monitoring. There's no such thing as a perfect filter, okay? That's why I barely mention it. Parents always want me to do like two or three slides on it. This is a Band-Aid, okay? It does not replace all the discussions that need to happen between you and your kids. It is just like, it's just kind of giving your kids a leg up in the world, okay? By starting them out, especially as they're young, having just a little filter, okay? We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. All right, we start listening, okay? So counseling together on what should our rules be, how should we behave online, how much time should we be spending, where should we be spending our time online? That is something that, and those rules should be created with our kids, not just to our kids. Now, not if they're 2 and 3 years old, right? They don't know anything. But as they're older, this needs to be done as a family council, okay? Creating a home where our kids can ask us anything. That's what I've always wanted. Since the beginning of starting all of this, I want my kids to be able to ask me anything, and they do, okay? It's scary sometimes, right? We all have that one kid. Do you have that one kid who just asks you stuff? Anyways, more on that later. All right, establishing rituals and routines that allow conversation. Now, I'm not saying productions. I'm not saying that every night at dinner you're gonna do a song and dance so that your kids wanna talk to you. I'm just saying inviting questions on a daily basis. For us, that happens to be dinner. When they were littler, it used to be bedtime, okay? Or after school driving home. I actually prefer to drive my kids home than put them on the bus because I feel like that is when they are ready to process information. When they've been on the bus, they've already processed it in their head for that 20, 30 minutes, and then I miss it. So I try to do that. That's what works for me. I don't know what works for you, but create those small little rituals and routines that lend themselves to conversation. Shame, okay? This is something that a lot of parents ask about, usually because a lot of us have had things in our past, whether that's sexual abuse or whether because our parents never talked about healthy intimacy and never faced the technology that we face, they don't know how, they feel embarrassed about talking about these topics, okay? I think that's okay to admit to your kids that you feel embarrassed or that there's something shameful that maybe you were brought up with. Tell your story so that they get it, so that they understand where you're coming from, okay? It'll help your kids understand you better, but also help them to kind of give you a break when you don't have all the answers or you don't have the right words to say in some of these conversations, okay? We start talking. So knowing our perspective, so a lot of us come from a Christian background, right, where we have been taught one thing, or maybe we had one sex talk or no sex talks, or we had so much drilled into us about sex being evil or sex being bad that we're not sure, again, to how to find the words to talk about these issues with our kids. We can do this, okay? There's no perfect way to do this. There's no perfect answer. Like I said on the Sunday meeting, I have met experts in every field in parenting, and every single one of them has horror stories about the way they messed up sex talks, the way they messed up rules about technology. That's just the way it is. Allow yourself to be imperfect. Just know that you're gonna screw it up a little bit. It's okay. It's okay. All right? But use your values and your personal experience. So sometimes people think that they have to teach just some kind of politically correct thing over here in this box and just kind of hand it to their kids. No, use your own values of what you expect, what has helped, what has worked for you. Has a committed relationship worked for you? Has being married worked for you? Tell your kids how and why. What do you value in a spouse? Help them figure out what they value in another person, especially as they're growing up. Having a discussion of healthy relationships is something that can be done over and over again and is probably the easiest place you can start with when you're having sex talks, okay? What do you want in a spouse? How are you going to be so that you are a good partner to your spouse someday? Not just what are you looking for, right? But both pieces on that. That's a great talk to have over and over again and to see how your kids evolve through the years on that. Start first, okay? Always younger than you think. We still have, who has that friend that thinks you should wait till middle school to broach these topics? Yeah, there's still a couple hands. We have that friend and you're like, oh, please, are you kidding me? Okay, my 8-year-old daughter, or she's now a senior, but she was 8 when she was exposed to porn at recess on the playground from an iPod Touch. Remember iPod Touches, right? And that was a big deal for us because we had, of course, already started some of the talks, but we hadn't covered everything, of course, at that point. But at that young age, okay, I go to different conferences. It's typically sometimes at homeschool conferences where I get parents who think because I homeschool, everything is just fine, right? When these are the kids spending the most time on the computer doing their homework, okay, with the most opportunity to see things that are not healthy for them. I had one mom say, I don't even want my kids to know the word pornography. I was like, well, neither do I, but welcome to 2018, okay? We need to have these tough conversations, whether we like it or not, whether it's easy or not, we need to do this, okay? Our kids are worth it. They deserve to know. They deserve to be warned before they come across it, okay? Stay calm. Always, very matter of fact, even when you're uncomfortable. How would you guys feel if I came up in this presentation and the whole time I talked like this? Right? Puts you at ease, right? Puts you real relaxed. I know, she's totally comfortable with that, right? We want to help our kids be at ease, okay? So they know that we can talk about these things, that we can handle these topics, okay? If you feel uncomfortable, take a deep breath, okay? Simplify the conversations even further. Show that you care, okay? Your kids do not care about what you're gonna say unless they know that you are coming from a place of love and concern. We, with our kids, you know, as I do these different conversations, there are sometimes my kids are not paying attention when I think it's something really important. Has anybody ever had that, right? They're like, this is important, right? And I wanna, my instinct is to bite their heads off, right? But I also realize it's important enough that I need to stay calm so that I can get the words out, right? Okay, now particularly for little kids, they need a plan for when they're exposed to pornography, okay? Before we get there, I'm gonna talk about validating and defining pornography. Because for us and for our kids, it can be a very different definition. I see this all the time, that we think we know, especially moms, They think because they've seen pornography a couple times that they know the definition of pornography, and they really don't. A lot of women our age, they don't even know what they don't know, or they think they know, but I'm like, oh my gosh, it is so much worse, okay, than what you think, okay? If you've dabbled in pornography, you don't know. I'm not saying go find out, okay? I'm saying please appreciate the idea that our teenagers have seen and are going to be exposed to 10 times to what we were at that age, okay? In not a pleasant way. But we also need to validate their curiosity. If everyone at school is talking about that, aren't you going to look it up? If I was a teenager, I absolutely would have been looking at porn, right? I would have been like, did you guys see this? I would have been right in the middle of class being obnoxious about it. Like, isn't that funny, right? Because I was that teenager. I'm sure you guys were not like that. But that's how I would have been, right? And so I can get it when I see how kids want to like laugh about it or they want to talk about it. Sometimes something is so disturbing or so shocking, you want to talk about it, especially at that younger age. So of course other kids are going to ask, I want to know what's going on. But we want to validate our kids that it's normal and natural, okay, that they want to see what's going on, that they want to understand what their other kids at school are seeing, but also that they want to know about sex, that they want to know about naked people. That's a good thing. We want them to have sex someday, right? It's okay. Right? So helping define it. So for littler kids, keeping it real simple for defining pornography, okay? Pictures or videos of naked people, okay? If it makes you uncomfortable, if you see something online that makes you uncomfortable, come and tell me. It can be that short of an answer. With older kids, that's when you're going to add on the other layers. You can let them know, you know their age of when they're ready for some of the other things that I talked about. It's misogynistic. You know, I let my older kids know, this is hateful towards women. This is why I hate this, okay? This is not real when I'm talking to my older kids. This is a counterfeit version of sex, okay? You try those moves, it's gonna be like trying to do kung fu moves in a street fight. It's not gonna work, kids, okay? So help your kids understand, so you're gonna layer those conversations. Okay, help them understand that porn destroys intimacy, okay? It's very difficult for a husband or a wife to feel good when they know their spouse is masturbating to porn and would rather masturbate to porn than to be intimate with them, okay? And this is something that is becoming increasingly, increasingly popular, okay? If you don't know somebody a couple who is struggling, I'm surprised. That just means that they're hiding it, okay? Because every congregation all over this country have people suffering with one partner who is looking at porn and would rather be with porn than be with their partner, okay? All right, so I already talked about defining it, helping them know that curiosity is normal, teaching them where to find answers. It's hard to know where to find answers. When it comes to sexual things, I generally tell my kids to ask me. We have anatomy books. My husband's a doctor, so we love talking about anatomy, right? And so we have taught them where to find their answers and reinforcing that, okay? Where are the healthy places to find answers? Because you know they're going to Google. What happens when an 11-year-old Googles boobs? Is he just going to come back with pictures of boobs? I wish he was. I wish that's all he was. I wish he was just going to have that old Playboy woman in a cornfield naked, right? We wish it was that, but it's so much worse that that's, again, why we have got to teach them where to find the real answers. Teaching media literacy. So every time I do one of these, nobody ever knows what media literacy is. If you're a teacher, you probably know a little bit, right? Because our teachers teach it to our kids in the terms of understanding a poem, understanding a book, that kind of media literacy. What's hilarious is that we now live in an image-based culture, right? Where we're getting 90% of our information possibly from images and movies, but most of us don't know how to read an image. You know, we can read a book immediately, right? And we know those words. We can do it faster than we can even think sometimes, but we can't look at an advertisement and go, oh, this is who the audience is. This is the values being expressed. This is why it was created. But those are some of the skills that we want to teach our kids in deconstructing media. Asking them simple questions. You're passing by an advertisement, you see a commercial online, feel free to pause the TV, turn it down, or ask, what's going on here? Why was this created? Why was this ad created? Who is it for? It's almost always to make money, right? Do you think that Nerf gun is really that tough? Look how tough that kid looks. I love how it's like a teenager, right? I know a lot of 18-year-old boys who are just all over that Nerf gun, right? But again, that's purposeful. There's a reason why it's an older kid, right? You always market 4 years older. That's what I've learned in marketing, right? You're gonna market to 4 years older because that's where the kids will go, right? Teen Vogue. Is Teen Vogue for 18 and 19-year-old girls? No, it's for 12 and 13-year-old girls, okay? Which is what, you know, that's what worries me about some of those magazines, because those, anyways, I don't know if I have enough time to tell you about how much I dislike those magazines. Teaching them how to break down images, but not just those images, but the images on social media. So this is my social media. Can you tell me what am I selling here? What is my message? I would yell it out. What is the message? Happy family adventure. Ooh, I like that. I'm gonna use that. I'm selling good mommy, right? All of us are selling something on social media. Our kids need to know. Every time they look at their friends' advertisements, that's what they are. They are selling a message. Are they selling surly teenager? Are they selling angry teenager? Right? Are they selling hot mommy? Who has that friend who's selling hot mommy? You're like, oh my gosh, you're 45, right? And so you laugh because it's true, right? We're seeing it everywhere. We're like, aren't you cute? You want to send them that private message, please stop. But you don't quite know how, right? I'm there for you. I hear you. Okay? I'm selling good mommy, right? Good mommy takes her kids on trips. Good mommy takes her kids to the symphony. Good mommy forces her children to do service, right? Good mommy, right? But we also need to help our kids question, what is that message they're creating, okay? This, again, is the first time in history where our kids can actually send a message to thousands and millions of people like that. Earlier in the spring, I went to the UN, the Status and the Commission of Women, right? And I met a woman who has has 2 million followers on Twitter. She's from Iran, and her big thing is to try to get, you know, the headscarf of not being required for every woman to wear that in public. She said that she grew up in a village of 200 families. That's incredible that she has that much influence and that our kids have that possibility and that we have that possibility of helping and reaching out to that many people. We'll talk about that potential in just a minute. So again, as we're talking about, if you're going to talk about pornography, you have got to talk about its opposite, which is healthy sexual intimacy. Okay, so our kids can see that picture so that when they do see porn, they can go, that's not real. A woman would never want that. I want every teenage boy in America to be able to do that. I'm just, can that happen? Is it possible? Okay. Teaching younger kids. What are the things that little kids need to know? This is where we all wonder, what do they need to know? They need to know protective information first and foremost, okay? That their body belongs to them. That forced affection is not okay. That I am not gonna force you to hug and kiss your grandma with her scary lips, right? Mm. That's what my grandma had. She'd come in. Okay. I'm sure none of you guys had grandma with scary lips. All right. Appropriate touch of what is okay. What is okay and what is not okay? Most little kids don't know. They're so innocent. They are not sexual beings yet, right? And that includes talking to them about masturbation if they're masturbating, okay? This is always a big thing. People freak out so badly when their little kids are masturbating. We have to realize it's not sexualized for them unless there is an abuse situation, which is still really rare, okay? You have to realize it's just kind of like, you know, when you rub your fingers through your hair and it feels good, that is the same thing they're doing. There's nothing sexual in this. Okay, there's nothing sexual, but that is what they are doing. And we have to kind of take it down a notch when we flip out over little kids. We also have a lot of parents that freak out over a girl masturbating. Why is that? Why do we not freak out when a boy masturbates, but we freak out over girls masturbating? Think on that. We'll come back to it. And if not, you guys can ask me later, because I know the answer. All right, bodily knowledge. They need to know how their anatomy works and why. Why it's, you know, what are the functions of everything, okay? Does your little daughter know that she has two holes down there, not just one? I didn't know for a long time, okay? And that's ridiculous. It's just anatomy. Let's simplify it and take the shame away from that, okay? Relationship basics. As they're little, even conversations about self-respect and respect for others, those are the beginnings of a sex talk, okay? Because there is no mutual respect in pornography, but hopefully there is mutual respect in your sexual relationship. They need to know that for the future. Talking to older kids, okay? But they need to know that it's positive, that sex is healthy and amazing. I want my kids to know that. This is not something dirty. This is not something bad, okay? Let them know with your words. Sex is a good thing. It's wonderful with the right person at the right time. Protective information, okay? We are in a country that has no idea what consent means. They need to know what consent means. We have a lesson on our website called Talking to Your Kids About Consent. Find it. It's a good one. Good family night lesson. It's free. How predators groom kids and how kids groom other kids. It's really not that different. But I'm sure some of you guys have seen the research that peer-on-peer sexual abuse is huge. It's just becoming bigger and bigger. And again, I believe that's because of pornography. So many things being normalized. Okay? Relationship counsel. Again, helping them understand what a healthy relationship looks like versus an abusive relationship. And reminding them over and over again, those undeveloped brains, as they're dating, everything is fine, right? Oh, yeah, that's just how it is. No, help them set those clear understandings of what is healthy and what is not healthy in a relationship, okay? What do we do when our kids have actually been exposed, okay? Before I got involved in this, I've handled this twice when my kids have looked at porn, right? I yelled at one kid, and I hugged the other one. Which one worked? Which one went better? Any ideas? Yes, pretty obvious, okay? That was before I got involved in all the, just freaking out. Okay, excuse me there. Didn't work, it's not gonna work. And there's no way for our kids to not be exposed, okay? They're not perverts because they wanna see pornography. It's out there everywhere, and they are going to see it. There's no when, it's not if, it is when. Okay, they will see it, so prepare them, okay? But we need to find out what's going on. Where did they access it? Is this becoming a habit? Is this becoming an addiction? What are the things that you notice about their behavior? They will have the same sort of behaviors that anybody with an addiction will. The same kind of withdrawal effects, the same kind of irritability, the same need for privacy, to use their addiction. Those same principles apply when it comes to pornography or gaming addiction or internet addiction, okay? Finding out what's behind the habit. We all know that it's not like that people just do drugs just because they're fun, right? I could be drinking alcohol in here right now, and you guys would not know it. You can't tell, right? You have no idea. Could be vodka, but it's water, right? But again, what makes it that I'm not doing drugs? What are the things in my life that keep me from doing that, right? Because I have meaning, I have relationships, I'm happy with the work that I'm doing, whatever, all those things that each of us have, but there's always a reason, right, behind any addiction. Loneliness, sadness, depression, whatever those things, those are the real issues. It's not that your child is just a pervert and they just can't get enough porn. There is always a reason behind an addiction, okay? All right, so as we start talking about technology, we don't wanna just approach it, say, in a 10 commandments law of Moses, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. You start there with the safeties, okay? Safety first. Okay, we're not gonna have phones in our rooms. We're gonna keep our computer out in a public place. We're gonna have time limits. We're gonna have, maybe tech-free zones in our house. We're not gonna bring our phones to the dinner table. We are going to have these spaces where technology is not allowed, where we can interact as human beings. But again, starting there on those simple places of the safety first, right? But we're gonna make sure we have filters and we have monitoring on our phones. Now, I'm a believer in that by the time your child leaves your house, they should experience a unfiltered internet, okay? Not everybody agrees with me on that, so you have to decide for yourself as a parent. But they need to know, I want my kids to screw up while they're still with me. Does that make sense, right? So In a dream world, my children would never get on social media, but that's just not gonna happen. Now, my daughter, I let her on at about 13, 14. I wish I hadn't, okay? Keep that as long as possible, but they do need to experience that before they leave your house, so that they mess up, so they say something stupid, so maybe they get their feelings hurt, but that all happens under your roof where you can lead and guide them, okay? So we want that to happen. Now, some people say, nope, there should never be an unfiltered computer, and that is usually my friends and my colleagues that I work with that have had an addiction in their life, okay? So they're coming from a wise place, but I also need my kids to understand what is out there. That, again, that is your personal decision between you and your partner of what you're going to decide in your home. But they need to have, again, we need to have those goals in mind before they leave our house. Okay, we want to teach our kids that these are not just pacifiers. So what does that mean, right? It means that we need to set limits for ourselves as well. I'm not just going to hand my kid a phone every time they're whining, right? They're at the grocery store, they won't be quiet. Now, I am really lucky that they did not have smartphones when my kids were little, because I know I would have used it. I know I'd have been like, ugh, mommy needs a break, be quiet, you know. So I get that. Those of you who had little kids, I understand that, and I feel for you, okay? There are gonna be times when we're gonna just be like, I can't do this. I need a break for mental sanity. But again, trying to minimize that as much as possible so that they don't look at that as a coping mechanism, right? I'm having a bad day, I'm 4, I'm 5 years old, things aren't going my way, oh, okay, you know, I have my iPad, right? We don't want that to be their main coping skill, okay? Help our kids to see that social media is a vehicle. All of us had some sort of megaphone as kids, right? Whether that was calling our friends and talking to them, whether that was being on the school newspaper, whether that was in our classes and speaking, this is where kids, this is their megaphone. This is how they are communicating to each other and to the world. But again, we want them to see it as a vehicle. Now, I mentioned this woman who has, you know, 2 million Twitter followers. I don't believe that all of us have to have some sort of huge social movement or do something huge and grand with social media or with our online lives, because it really is by small and simple means that great things are brought to pass. I firmly believe that statement where it says, the doors of history swing on very small hinges. I believe that for our families as well. But I am teaching my kids, and we want other parents to teach their kids, to just spend a couple minutes a day helping and lifting other people. Whether that's something as simple as complimenting other people. One night at dinner when we were having this discussion, I told my kids, go ahead and grab your phones. I want you to send 5 compliments to 5 different people, okay? It's not a race, we're not gonna hurry, but I would like you to just sincerely compliment somebody in a single text. You're not gonna send a group chat. I love y'all, bye, right? A compliment of what this person means to you, to lift them up. That is a simple thing that can be unforgettable, right? We all remember some compliment that we received in high school that was out of the blue, whether that was from a teacher or a pastor or a friend, that stuck with us, okay? Teaching our kids to do these small things, teaching them how to kindly disagree with somebody on a post. Do you guys know how to do that? I had to learn that. I don't know about you. That was a skill set for me, right? Because I just want to go, this is what I think, right? And I had to, you know, how many of you have ever sent something that you put it on social media and then you're like, oh, that sounded so rude. And I thought I was just being nice. Anybody? I'm the only one? Thank you, sir, right? But I had to learn that several different ways of how, same thing in a text, right? That's why we have those emojis. I am not a fan of emojis, right? But I had a friend who was taking everything I said. I would write okay, and she was taking it as okay. So I had to add exclamation points to everything I wrote to this person, right? Thanks. I couldn't just go thanks. Anyways, right? But again, teaching our kids what is appropriate, but also maybe not to always feed into those people who need the constant strokes, right? Teaching them how to communicate through a screen in a kind way, okay? Actively sharing what you learn and know. I love those posts. When people share something they learned, I had a life lesson today, or here's something really important, or especially right now, we're voting, it's voting season. This is something I really care about. I wanna know those things. I don't wanna just see cat videos, okay? I appreciate how much you love cats, right? Let's share useful information, okay? We want to get our kids dreaming up a world where 90% of social media is positive and uplifting to other people. Can you imagine that world? We got to get our kids imagining it if we want that to happen. So we need to seek out the best and avoid the worst, because there's going to be terrible things that we're going to see out there, okay? We need to be researching apps and websites, not everything, okay? Because I think this is where parents get really overwhelmed, where we start feeling like, there's just too much out there. But keep it simple in your rules. If you see an app on your kid's phone and you don't know what it is, it should not be there, okay? You should know what every app does on your kids' phones. You should also be approving every app. My children have claimed that I am the only parent in their friend group that they have to get the parent's approval for every app. And I said, well, I must just be a better mother than all those mothers, right? And so, but I'm pretty sure I'm not. That's just the kind of thing my kids will say to me, right? Like, I'm the only one, right? And you're like, oh, right? So, but again, take the time to read the reviews on it, to understand the messaging apps, and to understand whatever gaming apps they're on, and to understand if they have chat features, right? That's one of the big things. That's one of the great places that predators go, is not just social media, but also all those chat features on different games, okay? That's where they're meeting kids. Predators used to go to parks and malls because that's where we were as kids, right? Predators are going to go where our kids are at. And they're online, so that is where predators go. That is where we need to teach our kids to be very savvy about those things, okay? Having tech-free zones and taking tech breaks. Okay, I cannot stress enough how beneficial this is, of you taking tech breaks and doing that with your kids for a weekend, okay? For a week, going off social media. Okay, I've done this a couple times for a week or more at a time where I've taken Facebook off my phone and I've used it for my business, right, for the things I do, but then I put it away and I'm not using my personal. Okay, try it for yourself and then have your kids do it or do it together. See the difference it makes in your relationships, in your talking, in where you focus your time. It's really great, the new update on the Apple phone shows you exactly where you're spending all your time. Who has that? It's helpful, is it not? You're like, I was not, right? That's what my kids try to tell me. I'm like, okay. Use it. Use those tools, okay? Setting an example. This is the hard part, okay? This is hard. We feel like we feel justified. I need a break. I was at work all day. I need to get this carpool organized, right? No, we need to set that example, okay? In taking those time-sucking apps off our phone, us staying off the phone, not just being like, just a minute, sweetie. Let's work that out of our habits, all those behaviors where we are distracted parents, okay? All right, people always ask me, when do we let our kids on social media? This is my answer, because there's not an age. Now, 13, that is way too young, okay? But that is the bottom age that they say. We recently did a video where we had somebody interview dozens of teenagers about the first time they were on, or when did they first start using social media, and just some other questions. Almost all the kids answered 11 or 12. And I was just like, oof, okay? Again, that's our naivety of where we are letting our kids on too soon. They need to have it before they leave the house, but really try to put it off as long as possible. Okay, again, that undeveloped brain, there is no way for them to feel good and to thrive by spending 30, 60, 90 minutes on social media a day. There's just no way. No way that their brains can do that. Okay? Help your kids understand that their actions matter, that every text, every email they send creates ripples, that ripple effect, not just for the negative, but for the positive. Right? That every time they choose to lift somebody up, they are making a ripple in the life of somebody else. All right, and teaching our kids to be authentic. This is tough because most people are not authentic online, right? Oh, I'm at this party, having such a good time, look how cool I am, right? All those things, no one is celebrating authenticity. Okay, or the people that are a tiny percentage. You can't look at anything on television that is authentic, right? These hosts, right? When I'm at the gym, that's when I see them, I'm just like, This is who we are. This is America, right? But yes, it is. But we need to teach our kids to get away from that, to be real online, to not just share and be this filtered person, to be their true selves online and everywhere, to be the same person in the light that they are in the dark, that same person, and to seek out different points of view. Why is this so important? To seek out different points of views. Well, it's because the algorithms, everything that is controlling every part of our actions online, on all of social, every social media platform, every shopping platform, every search platform, is driving us to spend money, right? Including the things that we see from our friends. They are going to keep us where they think we are going to stay. So we need to seek out different voices just to get away from what is being fed to us, even in any, whether that's on a news website. They're showing us what they think we're going to click on. So we have to take that initiative and teach our kids there. Inspiring our kids to use tech for good. It's the last couple slides here. Taking advantage of technology. So not just staying away from it, but what are the things that we can create with it? Again, Facebook and smartphones are 10 years old or less. That's not a long time. We need to get them dreaming up the next platform, dreaming up the next device, dreaming up the next technology that is going to change the world for the better. Reaching out to experts. That's the reason why I'm on Twitter. I otherwise hate Twitter, but that is how you can talk to people all over the world. Okay? Ton of porn on Twitter. Do not let your kids on Twitter. But for you as an adult, that is where you can reach out literally to experts all over the world. You have to realize all social media, they pay lip service, right? Oh, we don't allow those images. That's a bunch of garbage. Okay? They all allow it, even on Pinterest, everywhere. They're just paying lip service to it. And you can report it. I appreciate it if you report it, but know that they're pretty much not going to do anything about it, okay? All right. This is something that, again, in all of our parenting that we need to understand. So as we get scared, as we come across topics, as we hear about the next app, the next bullying situation at school, we need to put that fear down and remember that going from a place of fear does not create change and does not help our kids, that we need to have that spirit of love and of a sound mind. Lastly, creating firm rules and boundaries. Because we always wonder, well, what do we, you know, give your kids very clear expectations when it comes to screen time, for gaming, for television, for movies, for social media, and consequences. Have that out listed. They understand very clearly, whether that's in a media guide that you write, however, where they are very clear on your rules and consequences. Use your mistakes as learning experiences. You're going to make mistakes. Okay, I've made a ton of mistakes from this in learning all of this. I'm a better parent for it, though, and your kids are better kids for what you. And inviting their questions, allow them to ask you questions. So I told you hard things at the beginning of this talk, right? This is what Mr. Churchill said toward the end of the war. I told you hard things at the beginning of this war. You did not shrink, and I should be unworthy of your confidence if I did not still cry forward, unflinching, unswerving, indomitable, till the whole task is done and the whole world is safe and clean. And I agree with this. Everything that we can do, I told you hard things. It can be daunting, right? There's a lot out there, but we're not alone. We have each other. We have many resources online, in the community. We can do this. All right. Do you guys have any questions for me? No, I can go? All right, thank you. That was great. All right. Any questions? Yes, in the back. You're like, that's right. That was terrible, wasn't it? Yeah.
You know, some of the darker subjects that you brought, I mean, how could I ever even discuss those things with her when she's still...
That's awesome. But you, again, you do not have to say, have you seen anal sex? I mean, you don't have to be, but I'm saying you can, again, keep it on that simple level. You're going to see this, okay? If you see videos or images of naked people online, don't stick around and watch it. Get away from it. And why? What's the big deal? Da da da. Because again, they're thinking of an art piece that they've seen. Their minds, again, are so much more innocent then that's where you're going to talk about. She's old enough to talk about some of those hateful things, that what the real meaning of pornography is. You can talk about how this is fake, okay, when you see this. They are treating women, they are teaching teenagers particularly how to treat women, and it is awful. And I do not want you to ever think that that is how a man should treat you. So please, if you see this, turn it off and come talk to me about it as soon as you can. Because they need to talk to us about it. They need to, that's part of that run plan that we showed. Help them understand what they've seen. A lot of times they don't even get what they've seen, okay? Because it's something quick, it's something fat, because they're not, say, as familiar with those orifices, they're not sure what they've seen. So again, that's where you want them to come and tell you what they've seen or talk to so that you can help them make sense of it, okay? Yes. Sure. I don't know what it is. Tell me what this is. Yeah, how old is your son, did you say? 10. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, and again, they probably haven't even recognized what they've seen as pornography. It's like, again, in the summer, my son told me, he's in seventh grade now, but he talked to me about how he had seen something called Shrek is Life. Shrek is Love, Shrek is Life, whatever it is. It's animated porn. And it's awful. Like, I was like, what? They mentioned it. So, of course, I went and I looked and I was like, oh, for the love, right? Same kind of thing. And again, but that is where, post that online, not the video, but say, my son and I, you know, a lot of our kids are looking at this. You need to talk to we need to talk to our kids about this. So again, you're like, where you can raise awareness of some of these things, where again, parents are, we don't know what we don't know half the time, right? That is something that, again, they're just curious, that just somebody else said it was funny, so it must be funny, or it must be okay. And so, yeah, that's one of those things that, absolutely, yes. A smartphone, my middle schooler has a dumb phone, a flip phone, which he doesn't even use, right? But that to me is the ideal thing to have if you are like, my kid needs a phone, right? They don't need phones. So last year, because of course my kids were like, we need it for school. Whoa, all the teachers do this. So I was like, all right, really? I emailed both kids, freshman and junior, right? Every single teacher. Will my child's educational experience be impeded if they do not have a phone, right? What did every single teacher say? No. Okay? So then I was like, oh, uh-huh, right? So that, you know, my daughter was like, well, I take notes. I'm like, you should not be taking notes. Every research study shows we learn better from writing, not typing, right? So again, in an ideal world, it has to be before they leave the house because, they need to make those mistakes. They need to have those temptations. In a perfect world, I would say maybe 16. Of course, people are doing it at 8, 9, 10. But start them, it's like training wheels. Start them with that dumb phone, okay? Start them with a flip phone. They can still text. And yes, they can still see porn on a flip phone. But it's way harder and way slower, okay? No pun intended, right? So that's what you need to, but it's still so much safer. And it's really rare that a kid is gonna like be like looking at porn on that little screen, right? What's going on there, right? Okay. So again, that's get them those training wheels, right? They have that and where they can prove themselves and where you started out totally filtered. We've tried a number of different phones, filtering for phones. A lot of them are garbage, again, because that technology is behind. We've tried Mama Bear, we've tried Net Sanity. A lot of people swear by Covenant Eyes. We use Circle. It used to be called Disney Circle, now it's just called Circle. And then they have the Circle Go, which is on phones too. Okay, it does not, but there's no way to filter social media. So please, again, that's again where I'm like, hold off on social media as long as possible. There's no way to filter that out. And it's not just the pornography, right? It's all the kids cutting themselves. all over Instagram. It's all the, here's my fasting. Here's how I've maintained my eating disorder. Follow me for more tips, right? Like, that is real stuff. As pornographers, porn stars have their own accounts of, you know, come watch my live webcam experience. All that stuff cannot be filtered. So to me, it's the social media plus the smartphone that's like the kiss of death. Okay, so it's kind of like, again, if you get them the smartphone, maybe make a deal with them. You can have this, but you will not. I'll get this for you now that you're 14, but no social media till you're 16. Make that deal with them, right? Because just, again, keep it as long as possible. There's just, the research is just pouring in. There's just so little that is redeemable. And again, this is like giving an adult tool to a child. They just don't know how to use it. It's so hard for them to just be deliberate, to get in, you know, post something and get off. They want to spend the time here and here. But that's also, you can limit time. That Disney Circle Go does limit time. So like my kids have like 15, 30 minutes on social media. Now that my daughter is a senior, we did expand it. We're like, let's try this. Let's see what you can do with this. Let's see if you can limit yourself. Well, I'll tell you next year how that goes. All right. Yes. Right? Why is that? What do you guys think? Why do we freak out when we find out that girls are masturbating? What are we uncomfortable with? And female pleasure, right? We are still a culture that fears female pleasure, okay? That's why, again, porn has warped that 10 different ways every day. Okay, think about that for a minute. I know that we're gonna go, oh no, we're so sophisticated. No, we are still in a place in our culture where we are uncomfortable with female pleasure, okay, and female sexuality. And that is why we flip out more when we find out our daughters are masturbating, okay? And I'm not saying, hey, go tell them masturbation is okay, but I'm saying you whatever standard you have in your home, teach it to them. If you think masturbation is okay, tell them. If you don't think it's okay, tell them. Explain why, what your feelings are, whether that's a religious issue, whether that's a healthy issue, whether that's because you have experience of something that didn't work out so hot. Let your kids know. It's okay to have a standard in your home when it comes to masturbation. All right, next question. Anything else? All right. Well, oh, yes. Go ahead. Sure. Yeah. No, that's a great, that is totally legitimate, and that is what you should be asking anytime your kids go for a play date. Absolutely. That's you being good mommy. That is not intrusive. I'm going to put my child in your care. I usually will ask them, yes, do you have filters? When they were little, particularly. But I also will say, I really don't want my child gaming or on TV. I want my child to hang out and play with your friend. And I have yet to meet a mom who's like, oh, forget it, right? They usually are like, yeah, that's right. And they just need the reminder. We all need the reminder. That's right. We don't want them messing. They can watch TV anytime they want or whatever. They should be having a human experience and interacting with each other. But I know it's also, I think what's easier for parents, at least for my parents, is to just go over there and do it yourself, all right? And just put it on for them, okay? Because it can be complicated. So but letting them know, I really need this. This is what I learned at this, you know, this seminar. And this is really important. And this is something very dangerous. And I do not want my kids, especially at that young age. Okay, remember, that's that giving them a leg up. Once they're older, and especially middle school, they're going to be exposed to all kinds of stuff. But you want to, again, we're trying to get that brain as developed as possible with as little, you know, terrible imagery. Okay, so that you can handle those things, the more developed their brain is. Anything else? Yes. Yeah, sometimes because to me, pornography is just legalized trafficking, okay? They're pimps, they're managers. Their pimps are just called managers. That's all it is. It's the exact same thing. A lot of the times they are brought in the same way. Women in porn are, you know, usually not like on their way to a PhD, right? They don't have a lot of options. It's like they're choosing between McDonald's making $8 an hour versus porn making $100 an hour. If you're on your own and you have no options, what are you going to choose? So again, this is something else. Another discussion I've had with my kids is these people deserve our sympathy, not our, you know, not our hate and our dislike. Yeah, we hate the product, but most of these women, I mean, I've met former porn actresses. Every single one said they had to be on drugs in order to do the things they had to do. They were chewed up and spit out. The average time a woman is in the porn industry is 6 to 12 months because like they literally cannot do it anymore, mentally or physically. Okay, things start to come out because it is so rough on what they do to their bodies. There's no gentle sex in porn and what it does to them. And so, again, they deserve our sympathy. But it's definitely, to me, it leads to trafficking. When you talk to anybody in law enforcement who has dealt with violence against prostitutes, and it is always all of them... I have never met anybody who says they don't feel like it's because of, they all feel it's because of pornography, that the violence against prostitutes, because they see things in porn, they want to act it out, they don't want to act it out with their wife, so they do it on the prostitute. And it is horrendous, but we don't consider it rape, right? Right? So, yes, it is. They are very much connected. Pornography totally drives trafficking. And so when you speak up about pornography, you are speaking up against trafficking as well, in my opinion. So, all right, any other questions? You can email us. There's tons of information on the website. If you follow us or subscribe to us, we have different, sometimes Kindle sales with the books, or we'll have like a new lesson or new webinars. I'm actually doing a webinar on November 8th about predators, online predators, and just predators in general. Anywho, that's it. Thank you very much. Oh, sorry. Yes. Yes, sir. I hate sleepovers. Don't have them. Not worth it. There's no reason. There's nothing that they are going to miss out on. Do late nights. 10, 11 o'clock. There's no bonding that has to happen at 2 in the morning. That, it's like scout camp. It's like that's where kids are exposed to porn and other problems and exposed to drugs, exposed to sexual abuse. There's just no reason. It's one of those things where it's like it's not so big that we're missing out on something. You're not, this is not like an SAT prep class, okay? They don't need sleepovers. Okay, now you can clap at me.